Columbus.
The Draft is here. Future stars, franchise-changing picks, a new chapter for the Blue Jackets. This is the Blue Jackets Draft Special.
Sponsored by G&J Pepsi.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob McGilligan and Dylan Tyrer.
Welcome to the Blue Jackets Draft Special here on this final Friday of June. This is when it happens every year. National Hockey League draft this year. The draft is in Buffalo. It's a second straight year that the teams are not on site. Everybody used to go and take their staffs to the draft site and do all of the picking in person, the trading in person, and all of that. But last year, that all changed. Every team in their own city. And that's where Don Waddell and his staff is at Nationwide Arena right now preparing for this draft. Dylan Tyrer, this has been quite the eventful week.
No kidding.
Not just in the National Hockey League with all the trades, and we'll talk about that as we go along, but with the Blue Jackets, it's been extremely busy. There have been a lot of trade talks that have gone on. We're going to hear from Don Waddell coming up in just a couple of minutes from now. But yesterday, he did pull the trigger on a deal, and he sent three draft picks to the Colorado Avalanche in exchange for Valeri Nichushkin, who's a former first-round pick of Dallas Stars, but it was once he went to Colorado that his career really took off, and he helped the Colorado Avalanche big time to win a Stanley Cup back in 2022. Great player. He's got size. He does a lot of fantastic things. This is a great ad for the Blue Jackets. I know that there are so many people out there hoping that there was going to be another ad by now. It doesn't mean that there won't be by the end of the night. It doesn't mean there won't be by the end of the weekend. Doesn't mean there won't be by the middle of next week. Who knows? But that trade yesterday is good on paper for the Blue Jackets. I think it'll be good with just the way that Nichushkin plays his game. If he plays his game, he helps his team.
Yeah, it's certainly an upgrade over what the Blue Jackets had last year, in my opinion. They needed a bona fide top six forward, and they get it in Valeri Nichushkin. As you said, this guy kind of was a late bloomer. He had a strangely slow start to his NHL career after being selected 10th overall by Dallas in 2013. So slow, actually, that he ended up going back to Russia. Then he comes back, and he absolutely explodes with Colorado. He won a Stanley Cup with the Avs back in that 2021-2022 season. He was a huge part of their cup run. 9 goals in 20 games, 15 points on the way to winning that Stanley Cup. He's dealt with some nagging lower body injuries over the course of the last few years, but he was pretty healthy last season playing 72 games. And you look at the body of work when you extrapolate things out to an 82-game season. The guy averages over 30 goals and 60 points, and he plays very, very good defense. Like, we're talking about a big winger that can skate that also has received Selke votes. That doesn't often happen for guys that play on the wing. So this is a real deal, all-situations player, and I think a really, really nice and underrated addition by Don Waddell, who didn't have to give up a first-round pick to get the player. And on top of all this, he's under team control for the foreseeable future at a manageable number, right around $6 million a season.
Didn't have to give up a first-round pick. In fact, didn't have to give up a roster player either to get this player. So, yes, you're right. That was a good pickup by the Blue Jackets. Let's just get right to it in the complete honesty of what this week has been, and it has been a lot. And it all started when Brady Tkachuk got traded from the Ottawa Senators to the Florida Panthers, and then the speculation begins about other players who have term left on their contract that may or may not re-sign with the team that they're with. Connor Hellebuyck has been talked about wanting out of Winnipeg and getting to go to another situation. But Zach Werenski's name came up. There was a lot of talk about it amongst the insiders in the league. Seemed like a lot of smoke, no fire. Now, as we are on the verge of the draft starting, Pierre LeBrun reporting on TSN that the Blue Jackets are now fully aware that it is unlikely that Zach Werenski will extend past his deal in 2 years. And in the last week, they've taken calls on Zach Werenski to gauge the trade market. Listen, this is tough to hear. Honestly, it's really tough to hear. There's no doubt about that. But this is a business, okay? And we've seen this before. And when I say that, I don't want people to go, well, here we go again. Players don't want to be here. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not it whatsoever. I relate this kind of to the Seth Jones situation a number of years ago. The Blue Jackets were in a spot where they had lost their core, and they were going to have to rebuild. And Seth Jones was quite honest, and he said, not in it for the rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's easy to look at the last 2 years where the Blue Jackets narrowly missed the playoffs and say, well, okay, well, this isn't that. But you also haven't been in the playoffs for 6 years. Zach Werenski is now in his prime. He is the Norris Trophy winner this year, top defenseman in the league. And what the Blue Jackets are doing is trying to figure out what's going on. Where can we get the most return? If that's something we have to do, and nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to do it. But if that's something that we have to do, where is the bigger bang for the buck? So again, not saying that's going to happen this weekend, next week, whatever. Could be next year, could be never, who knows. But it is out there, so we'll talk about it. We talked to Don Waddell a little bit ago, so we're not going to address this in our talk with Don, to be honest with you. But look, it is what it is. It is today's National Hockey League, and I don't really begrudge the players that are doing it. I think in many ways, they're being honest. Mm-hmm. Like if I ask you, hey, you want to be a part of this for a long time? And if you tell me, oh, yeah, I do. And then 2 years from now, you go, nah, I was kidding. I really don't want to. You're really hamstringing the organizations. The Ottawa people didn't like it, but they got assets. They got picks. They were able to take those picks. They already got William Eklund from the San Jose Sharks with one of those picks. So there are things that you can do. Again, I don't know what's going to happen with it. It is a huge subject. We can't pretend it's not going on, of course. But at the end of the day, is it the end of the world? It feels like it, but it's not.
Yeah, I think the fact of the matter is it's not like Zach Werenski has requested a trade or said that I don't want to be on the Columbus Blue Jackets this season. It's just a level of uncertainty for the future. And if Don Waddell wants to do the best for the Blue Jackets, he might have to trade Zach Werenski right now because the haul, the return is going to be massive. And it's not going to be like the Seth Jones thing where at that point the Blue Jackets were retooling under Jarmo Kekäläinen. He said as much. You look at the Blue Jackets roster right now, they just traded for Valeri Nichushkin yesterday. They have Charlie Coyle locked up long term. They want to sign Adam Fantilli long term. They have Connor Garland locked up long term. They have Ivan Provorov signed long term. They're going to extend Jet Greaves long term. All of these guys have futures on this team. It's not a rebuild. And Don Waddell said as much yesterday when he talked to the media. If he has to trade Zach Werenski, he expects to get roster players back. So if you end up having to do this, which again, you never want to have to trade the Norris Trophy winner, especially a guy that's meant so much to the Blue Jackets, and I think has thoroughly enjoyed his time with the Blue Jackets. He would tell you that. Zach Werenski has been, you know, the heart and soul of this team for how many years now? But you could really set yourself up nicely for the future with whatever this return is going to be. You can get a little bit younger. You can get more talented across the roster. You're, of course, not going to have that impact defenseman in Zach Werenski, but based off of how it sounds, a return for Zach Werenski could be, the Blue Jackets could actually find themselves in a really good spot.
They could. And again, we don't know if that's going to happen or if it's not going to happen. Personally, I don't want to see it happen.
Right.
But, you know, again, it's a business. It's a business. So we'll see what gives. But this week has been crazy with the deals that have gone down in the National Hockey League. And for the first time in a long time, teams have cap space that they can utilize. And it seems like more teams are interested in making trades to change out players and get players than they are to go to the free agent market and find players. Now, that could change on July 1st, because if you don't get something in the way of a trade, then you're going to be looking to see if you can get something similar on the free agent market. I get that, but the activity has been amazing.
Yeah, there are so many teams that want to get better, right? Like, you look at the teams at the top of the NHL. How good are the Florida Panthers? I know they didn't make the playoffs last year, but that's because they were missing their best player in Alexander Barkov. He's going to be back healthy this year. They went out and got Brady Tkachuk. That's an all-star roster. The Carolina Hurricanes are built a little bit differently. They're so deep, and they play all the same style. And they just won the Stanley Cup. The Colorado Avalanche very well could have won the Stanley Cup. The Dallas Stars, the Minnesota Wild, all these teams are built for it. And everybody else that either made the playoffs and didn't win the Stanley Cup or just missed out on the playoffs like the Blue Jackets, they find themselves in this position where it's, hey, you know, we need to get better. And everybody in the NHL, for the most part, is trying to do that. And, you know, this free agent class this year, I don't know if the guys in this class will help you do that to the level that you need to do it, right? So the way to do it is on this trade market, and it has been absolutely unbelievable, all the stuff that we've seen, these big names changing teams, and it could continue as this night goes on.
It very well could. Well, the draft is just about to start. It is assumed that Gavin McKenna will be the first overall pick taken by the Toronto Maple Leafs, who won the draft lottery a couple of months ago. So that is that's pretty much, not that it's a guarantee.
No.
Nothing is a guarantee, I don't think, right now in this league, in this draft, anything like that. Toronto has all new management. John Chayka has taken over as the general manager. There were wholesale changes there. So nothing is a given, but that one seems to be pretty given. So we'll see that in just a few minutes here. The Blue Jackets are slated to pick at number 14. If they do not trade the pick, they will pick at number 14, the exact same spot that they picked in last year when they took Jaxon Smith, a left shot defenseman. And we're going to talk about him with Don Waddell a year later and where he is and what progress he made in the year that was. But that's what happened last year. The Blue Jackets were in a very similar position where they wanted to trade the pick. They wanted to get something done. They couldn't do it with the pick. But they did do the trade right before the draft where they picked up Charlie Coyle and Miles Wood from the Colorado Avalanche and sent Gavin Brindley back the other way. So this is right now, it's very familiar territory.
It is very familiar territory. In fact, it's almost the exact same thing. You traded with the same team and you got good veteran players in return. We'll see if something is still out there for the 14th overall pick. We will see, right? Not sure if the Blue Jackets are going to make the pick at 14. There's a long list of names that we'll talk about a little bit later on because it could be anybody. You know, this class, it's very deep when it comes to the defensemen. I think the forward strength is right at the top, and then you get into kind of a mix in the middle where it really could be anybody. So we'll talk about the options for the Blue Jackets, and one of those options could be dealing that pick as part of a larger package straight up for a player that'll help you right now. We'll see as this night continues.
All right, we're going to step aside and take a break. When we come back, Blue Jackets President of Hockey Operations and General Manager Don Waddell will join us. This is the Blue Jackets Draft Special here on 97.1 The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube, along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
The rain will likely continue through tonight into early on Saturday, and we could see rainfall amounts over a quarter of an inch for several locations. We'll start to dry out for Saturday afternoon with highs back into the upper 70s, and then tracking more sunshine for Sunday with highs back into the mid 80s. And then we are talking about some extreme heat coming in for next week. Highs will be into the mid 90s for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, with heat index values over 100 all the way through the end of the week. That's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
This is the Blue Jackets Draft Special.
Sponsored by G&J Pepsi.
Welcome back to the Blue Jackets Draft Special. Bob McElligott alongside of Dylan Tyre. Toronto Maple Leafs are about to kick off the draft. The pick is in. We'll just wait and we'll make it official. Once it is official here. As soon as they step to the stage in Buffalo, the commissioner is doing that, even as we speak, to announce who that first pick is. And again, Gavin McKenna is the guy that it's supposed to be. Gavin McKenna left junior last year, went to play college hockey at Penn State, and that's where he was this entire season. So the pick is going to be announced. Thank you very much. And I don't even know what the commissioner's taking so long to say, but
ooh, long pause by Gary Bettman, too.
Very long pause.
The anticipation.
I know.
Could cut the tension with a knife.
Yes.
In Buffalo.
In Buffalo, which I'm sure there are a lot of Toronto Maple Leafs fans there, because that is an easy trek to get to Buffalo.
Oh, my goodness. Justin Bieber is announcing the pick.
Yes. Shocker. So they'll have a celebrity do it. We're going to talk with Don Waddell. We did talk with Don Waddell, I should say, just before coming over here a few minutes ago, just before he went into the, you call it a war room? I guess you do, right?
Yes, of course. Blue Jackets dressing room is the war room for this one.
It absolutely is. So we talked with Don Waddell about, you know, the thoughts about tonight, about the situation that he's been dealing with this week, and many other things. Justin Bieber's taking too long. It's going to be Gavin McKenna. I can tell you that before we even go to it. But right now, let's hear from the Blue Jackets, President of Hockey Operations and General Manager Don Waddell. Well, Don, first of all, let's start before talking about the draft. Yesterday, you were able to pull off a deal with the Colorado Avalanche. You pick up Valeri Nichushkin for a couple of draft picks. Tell me about making that trade. How excited were you that that's the player that you could get in a deal?
Yeah, you know, what we do is we always look, we made the same deal with Colorado last year, look at teams that were going to be up against the cap and stay in touch with them. I called Joe earlier in the week and said, you know, I know, not sure what your plans are, but if you're looking to move anybody, you know, we would be interested. And he called me back the next day and said, or on Wednesday, and said, you know, we're going to move Val or see if we can get. And so that started the process. And, you know, for us, we were looking at up front. We were looking to add some more size up front, which Val brings. But the other important thing is he really skates well. He's a great skater, great PK, help on the power play, forecheck. And, you know, the game's getting to be so fast that you want to make sure as you continue to add players, not everybody's going to be fast, but you need fast players. And certainly he brings that for us.
You mentioned the power play and the penalty kill. Those are two areas where last year, especially at the end, you stressed that you needed to be better on special teams. Was that a really big part of this?
Yeah, especially, you know, he was the first one out in Colorado on the PK, you know. Power play, mostly second unit, and their first unit played a lot, but he can obviously shoot the puck and make plays, so certainly he'll be able to contribute on both sides of the special teams.
How difficult has it been? All these trades are going on. You know, like every day you look, and there's three or four going on a day, it seems. But from your perspective, how difficult is it to find traction, to get it, or to get a deal that didn't make sense and something that probably is not overpriced?
Yeah, no, it's hard because 32 teams, including ourselves, we're all trying to add forwards this summer. It's kind of interesting where it seemed like every time you called somebody, they're looking for forwards. So, and I know after the trade was done, I know they had five teams that were really going after him, and teams were including the one that he came from, the GM came from, said, you know, you got a hell of a player at the right price. So that always makes you feel a little better. Obviously, we'll see in September, October, but we feel really good about it.
Don, you guys have the 14th overall pick tonight. You haven't been shy that it could be out there to help this team. At this point in time, do you feel like you're going to be making that pick, or could a deal still be out there?
I think there's some deals that are still lingering out there. You know, it's been a busy few days, very busy today about that pick. But again, you know, it's got to make sense. It's got to be, we're not going to trade it for an older player. You know, I'd love getting players with term, you know, because the way the league's going right now, you know, everybody wants 7-8 years. And so, you know, we've looked at a couple things, and, you know, anything's possible. And if not, we're going to get a really good player at 14.
Yep. And if you do end up making that 14th overall pick, how do you feel about the crop this year in the first round?
Well, we think, you know, you got eight players that are probably going to go 1 through 8 in certain order, but 9 through about 17, it could go any different direction. We really like a group of players in there, and we're hoping if we're picking, one of them will be there.
Do you lean one way or another when it comes to the position, forward, defender?
Probably don't need another left shot defenseman right now, but, you know, you if everything was being equal, we had two players, you know, obviously we'd probably go up front. But saying that, if all the forwards go, there's a whole bunch of good defensemen in that range. So we'll just see how it plays out.
We're talking with President of Hockey Operations and General Manager Don Waddell of the Blue Jackets. I'm glad you brought up the left-handed defenseman, because I was going to ask you, it was a year ago where you were in a very similar position. Well, the same position. You had the 14th overall pick. You were looking to trade it, couldn't find the right deal, and then you wound up taking Jackson Smith, who last year played his freshman year at Penn State. Coming back with development camp in just a couple of days from right now, what did you think of the way that he developed in his first year of college, and how excited are you that he's going to go back and do it again?
Yeah, no, he's been in town in the last 5 days. He came in early for development camp, and he's a horse. I got to watch him play a half dozen times last year, and he skates as good as any player I've seen at that age. You know, there's no question about his offensive instincts, but his coach, Guy Godowski, who played for me, really worked on him on the defensive side of the game. And you could see the improvement, because I saw him in October. And I saw him again throughout the year, but then I saw him late in the year. And you could see how he was working on his defensive game. And it's not like killing players in the corner, but it's just eliminating players. And so he's next year is going to be a great year for him, and I fully expect that we'll see him in a Blue Jacket jersey sooner than later.
Yeah, in this day and age where players, it used to be you had to be really special to be 18 and come from junior and go right into the National Hockey League. We see it so much now. But how valuable is it for a player like that to get that experience, good experience, before he comes into the AHL or NHL?
Yeah, no, you can't say enough about it. You know, he's had a great program, great coaching staff, facilities, workout. And, you know, and he made the decision, you know, we talked to him, but he made the decision, you know, I believe I need one more year here. And I think it was the right decision. You know, some players will force themselves out of college or juniors just to turn pro. But the decision he made, we supported 100% and excited about him.
Don, you just said that there certainly could still be deals out there. A lot have already been made. And I feel like for a few summers now, the NHL insiders have been saying, oh, this is going to be the year that there are all these trades. It's going to be this year. And it hasn't been. This year, there have been a lot of moves. So from your perspective, what has that been like with all this other noise and all these big names moving around the league?
Yeah, well, I think this is going to be the norm going forward because there's so much more new money in with the salary system, with the salary cap going up, that teams are locking up their players earlier. And so I think free agency, I think July 1st is going to be a day, no respect to the players that are free on July 1st, but I think that's going to be a day that's going to be keep dwindling down how many prime free agency unrestricted players are out there because everybody's keeping their own players. So I think the way you're going to have to work to make your team better is going to have to be through trades. And you know, starts off slow, and then this week obviously it picks up and a lot of big deals are made.
You also have to make the team better by growing, you know, developing players that you have drafted. A couple of those guys, Kent Johnson and Dmitry Voronkov. What's the status of those players? Because I know they need to have big seasons for you next year.
Yeah, Kent, you know, scored 24 goals for us 2 years ago, and, you know, he admitted didn't probably work. He had a good summer from a workout standpoint, but didn't work out probably in the right, you know, gaining strength. You know, Kent's a rink rat. He wants to be on the ice every day, you know. And so this year he stayed here for a couple weeks after the season, worked with our strength coaches. We check in with him on a weekly basis. He's really working on his strength, and not just upper body, but lower body, so he doesn't get pushed off pucks and that. So Kent knows that this is a big year for him coming up, and I think he's going to put the work into it to make it happen. You know, the big guy, Voronkov, you know, he had 21 goals and then 17 this year, and we're all disappointed because we all think he could score 30 plus. He's another guy that, you know, we've talked about conditioning before, but he came over to Connecticut to work out with a very famous strength and conditioning coach 2 weeks ago, and he's going to stay in that program until he comes here in the end of August. So he's committed, you know, instead of staying in Russia all summer, he came over, he's committed to come back and have a good season. So those are two players that we need to have good seasons. You know, you can't change all your players. But we're asking players to do something that they've done before. It's not like we're saying, okay, Kent Johnson scored 7 goals and 10 goals the year before and we expect him to get 20. He's already scored 20. He scored 24. So, you know, we need these guys to come back, and if they can come back and execute like we feel they can, it's really going to put us in a good position.
Don, I got two more quick things for you, and we'll let you go. Number one, you've done this for a long time. You've made trades. You've drafted players. How different is it in the social media era, especially like this week? You've had to answer a lot of questions about a lot of things that are floating all over the place. Does it make it tougher, or does it just make it more annoying?
Well, it's annoying because what happens is, you know, now instead of you kind of doing your business privately, you can't do it anymore because however it happens, you talk to a team about a player and the next day you read about it or hear about it through social media. And I'll be honest. I don't have any social media channels. I don't have Twitter. I don't have any of that stuff. You know, I have a joke about Facebook that I have real friends. I don't need Facebook. Not that it gets people to have Facebook, of course. But it does make it a little more, it's more annoying and time consuming because you get a lot more questions, that necessarily aren't, and a lot of things aren't true. You know, anybody can sit behind their phone or their computer and write something, but they never have to back it up, right? So, it's annoying.
Last thing, everybody focuses on today because it's round one. Tomorrow is the rest of the draft. Is that day actually more important with the vast number of players that you're picking? And as it gets deeper, you have to be right. You're looking for the diamond in the rough, right?
Yeah, Bob, that's a great point because everybody focuses, of course, on the first round, which high-end players come. But we're going to have five or six, whatever we have left now, tomorrow. If you can hit on one or two of those guys, it's going to be a huge draft for you. You know, I've been fortunate to take some players in the third, fourth, fifth round, that have really turned out well. And you need that to happen. You know, those can be a real game changer for your organization.
Don, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And good luck tonight. If you don't end up making that pick, that would be a positive thing. So whatever happens, happens. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
That is Blue Jackets General Manager and President of Hockey Operations, Don Waddell. And those were his thoughts. We talked to him just before coming over here to the 97.1 studios. The first pick was made. It was Gavin McKenna. It wasn't a secret. Everybody knew where it was going. The San Jose Sharks are on the clock right now. They are going to make the second overall pick. You want to talk about an organization that has changed by leaps and bounds over the last couple of years. The San Jose Sharks fit the bill for that. So we'll tell you who the Sharks pick, get you caught up on what's going on as the Blue Jackets draft special continues here on 97.1 The Fan.
Here in The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. The draft is here. This is the Blue Jackets draft special.
Sponsored by G&J Pepsi.
Two picks are in. San Jose takes the Swede, Ivar Stenberg, with the second overall pick. And Dylan, we were just talking during the break. San Jose, what a wealth of riches this team has after being high in the draft the last couple of years. But they were able to make a deal with Ottawa earlier in this week. They sent William Eklund from San Jose to Ottawa. It helps the Senators replace Brady Tkachuk. A first-round pick, ninth overall, comes back to the Sharks. So all they do is they get another top 10 pick, and then they potentially replace Eklund with a guy that's better than he was.
Right. Ivar Stenberg, a lot of people talk about this guy as being ready-made. You know, I was listening to Sam Cosentino of Sportsnet and NHL Network, and he and Jason Bukala, another draft expert, were talking about Stenberg kind of in the same vein as a player like Ivan Demidov from the Montreal Canadiens, that he can fill right in and be a ready-made piece in your top six. So you think about what San Jose already has. Of course, Macklin Celebrini, who looks like the best young player in the NHL, the second coming of Sidney Crosby. They've got Will Smith, who's had a nice couple of seasons there, and they continue to build around those guys. They just missed out on the playoffs last year, and now you luck into the second overall pick via the lottery, and here they are with another guy that looks like he's going to be a serious piece up front for them. And ninth overall, I think a lot of people are expecting them to go with a blue liner. I think they could use like that number one right shot defenseman. We'll see if that's the case. They could flip that pick again. It's already been traded from Florida to Ottawa to San Jose. So we'll see what happens with the Sharks, but they look like they've got a really bright future.
All right, there have been some trades that we haven't talked about. The first one between Utah and the Boston Bruins.
Yes, Utah trades J.J. Paterka to the Boston Bruins for a couple of first-round picks. Pretty big return for J.J. Paterka, and you might be thinking to yourself, wait a second, isn't that the guy that Utah just made a big trade for last offseason? Well, yeah, that's the case. Utah acquired J.J. Paterka last year. In that deal, you had a second-round pick, Josh Doan and Michael Kesselring going the other way. Doan proved to be a really nice piece for the Buffalo Sabres this past season. Kesselring dealt with injury, and he actually just got traded to San Jose by Buffalo, so he looks to be a piece there for the Sharks. But Paterka scored 25 goals, 47 points in 82 games for Utah. That was down from what he had done the last couple of seasons with Buffalo, 28 goals in the 23-24 season, 27 along with 68 points in 24-25. So not the same production for Utah, maybe not a great fit already with the Mammoth moving on from him, but the Bruins get a guy that could be a very valuable piece in their top six.
German coach, German player, with Paterka going to Boston.
You're right about
that. Marco Sturm, right? Caleb Malhotra was just taken third overall by the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, there was some consternation, some people talking about whether or not Vancouver would make that move going into the draft. Caleb Malhotra, of course, the son of Manny Malhotra, former NHLer that is now the brand new head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. Widely considered to be the best center coming into this draft, Caleb Malhotra. People weren't sure if they were going to marry up father and son with Vancouver for a couple of reasons, right? If he ends up coaching his son, that could lead to a strange dynamic in a dressing room. Or, you know, the shelf life of an NHL head coach is not very long anymore. Kind of an awkward situation if they fire your father and then you end up playing for the team. Vancouver has seemingly always been masked in some sort of drama, right? It's a hot hockey market. The fans are passionate. The media covers them just like the Toronto Maple Leafs on the eastern side of Canada. Seems to always be drama around this team, but hey, they say Caleb Malhotra is the number one guy on our board still available. We're going to take him.
All right. Well, since that just happened, let's take a break, and we'll come back with a guy that knows the Malhotras very well. Former Blue Jacket and former teammate of Manny Malhotra and current Blue Jackets color analyst Jody Shelley will join the Blue Jackets draft special as we continue here on 97.1 The Fan.
Things to know about T-Bone and Tybus. Bone hates the SEC. Tybus refuses to drink dark liquids, and they're both big fans of public shaming. Oh, they also host a radio show together weekday mornings from 6 to 9. Listen to it. The Fan. The stars of the future are picked today. It's draft time, and this is the Blue Jackets Draft Special.
Sponsored by G&J Pepsi.
Welcome back to the Blue Jackets Draft Special. Bob McElligott and Dylan Tyer with you. The draft is three picks in. The third pick was Vancouver's. Caleb Malhotra was taken by the Vancouver Canucks. And we are joined right now by former Blue Jacket player and teammate of Manny Malhotra, the coach of the Vancouver Canucks, Caleb's dad, and of course, Blue Jackets color analyst, Jody Shelley. Jody, how long have you known Caleb?
You know what? I've never met Caleb.
Aha, look at that.
Only since I saw him on the draft list last year. I think Dylan was talking about it. But how about that? I love what the Canucks did, too. Manny is there with the organization as the head coach, but he's sitting there with his son. Tonight he's a dad. And what a great moment and a good move by the Canucks. And I don't know. It's interesting. The kid's going to go in there. But I think that's a great situation for the Canucks. To have picked Caleb Malhotra, who's a heck of a hockey player.
When I saw that happen and I saw Manny coming up there, it took me back to a number of years ago. We were on a bus. We had just landed in Montreal. We were headed from the airport to the hotel, and you were on the phone with Manny Malhotra. And at that time, he was trying to figure out what the next stage was going to be for him, right, in his life. Did he want to get into commentating like you? Did he want to get into coaching, whatever? Well, I'll tell you what, he's come a long way from then until now, hasn't he?
Well, one thing about Manny, you knew that whatever he was going to decide to do, he was going to be really good at it. Because, you know, he was a centerman in the National Hockey League, came in with the Rangers, didn't work out. And as a player, he was a sponge. I think Ken Hitchcock was on record of saying, Manny Malhotra was a player he identified that would probably be a good coach early on. And I think Manny looked at all avenues as he would. And he knew he wanted to be a coach. He's the guy that knew and understood how to play the game at any way. Got to be on Wayne Gretzky's final game with the New York Rangers. He's had a lot of great experiences as a player, but I think even as a coach now, he won a championship last year in the American Hockey League. I'm not surprised because he's one of those players you remember for always being studious and always being on top and asking questions. And good to see him in this new situation in Vancouver.
Jody, this has been really a wild couple of weeks across the NHL. Big names trading places. It feels like every team in the league is involved. And we just had another big move a few moments ago. Pavel Dorofeev going from Vegas to the New York Rangers inside the Metropolitan Division. What do you think of that move? Dorofeev, big-time goal scorer, now with the division rival of the Blue Jackets.
Well, I think these teams, Dylan, you have to make a move. You have to keep pace with what's happening. You're seeing teams, you know, last year was the Florida Panthers, right? Everyone was going to bulk up, get bigger, get stronger, get more depth, try to compete to get through the Florida Panthers in the playoffs. It didn't work out that way, but there's got to be measuring sticks throughout the league. And you look at Buffalo, what they did this year. Montreal, can they hold pace? The teams that didn't make the playoffs have to make the playoffs this year. I don't know if the urgency has ever been higher, or you can sit back and say, that's a team that's, you know, going to be 3 or 4 years away from being in the playoffs. The urgency is high. The moves have to be made. I found it interesting with Don Waddell, said with you guys just moments ago there in that interview, where it's annoying for him to have what he would think private discussions about players and situations, and then have to answer questions about them because it gets leaked. And now look at Columbus dealing with Werenski. I mean, a simple conversation, it sounds like, gets out, and now we're, you know, everyone's up in arms. What's going to happen? And he's got to deal with this situation half publicly. So I like the move for the New York Rangers. This is a team that's asking and trying to get NHL players now to get better after a very disappointing season. I think it'll be a great fit in New York.
Let's talk about the move that the Blue Jackets made yesterday. Valeri Nichushkin from the Colorado Avalanche, a guy that, you know, has been a bona fide playoff performer on the way to a Stanley Cup before. What do you think about the fit in the Blue Jackets top six?
I like it. I think it's a guy that's won Stanley Cups, that comes into a locker room, I think has intangibles and respect right away. I've always liked the way he's played when he's healthy. I think he had a pretty good role there that's really been up and down throughout the lineup at times with the Colorado Avalanche. But as he comes in now, it's a fresh start. He's probably got familiar faces in the locker room. You know, I think he's buddies with a couple of the guys that are from Russia that he comes in with. A fresh start with a long-term contract and a couple things. He's big. He can put the puck in the net. He's a presence also. He can be a presence physically. And he can come in and this new culture that they're trying to create, hopefully be a part of it and be an asset with a fresh start. He doesn't know how it was here before. You know, not that it was bad. It just needs to be better. And hopefully brings that winning, kind of that intense culture or that attitude into the locker room.
We're talking with Blue Jackets color analyst Jody Shelley. And Jody, as you're talking about that and the culture and getting better and this and that, and you just mentioned, you know, the conversations Don Waddell may have had with Zach Werenski and how information is getting out there. Look, it's a tough pill to swallow if you're a fan thinking about losing a player of that caliber. And we're not saying that the team is going to, but, you know, you see the way that business is changing in the National Hockey League, and especially with the players. And, you know, I don't know exactly how to describe it. You played. I mean, you guys were kind of go where you were told to go type of thing, but it seems like there's a little bit of a mindset change, and with the combination of the salary cap going up, those things work together.
Well, Zach signed a long-term contract here coming off a winning season or a portion of a season in the American Hockey League. I mean, that was early in his career when he signed this eight-year deal. He's 6 years in. They have the option as free agents. You know, if that's on your mind now, I think it's up to the organization to understand that. I look at Mitch Marner in Toronto. He should have never got away, you know, and that's knowing 2 years out what the temperature is of that four asset to be able to make the smart business move to make sure that you get what you deserve on drafting and developing a player like this. So, you know, the organizations have to be on their toes. And I think the Blue Jackets, Don Waddell has been around long enough that he knows that. And he knows the temperature of what has to happen. And he's got to look out for and make sure he's not blinded by anyone in the organization. So I think it's just smart business from him to be ahead of it. And if that's a situation where he doesn't want to be a part of it in 2 years, and it has to be a move for the good of the organization. I think that's how the best teams function every day. And I look at Vegas, and a lot of people don't like the way they do their business, but they're all about winning. They're all about understanding that where they're lacking, not to win a championship, and they make the moves. And I think the Blue Jackets now, you know, you'd hate to see Zach Werenski go. I can't believe what I'm reading to think that he would be moved. But when you look at it from a pure business standpoint, you have to say, well, if it's something he wants to move and try somewhere else, which he has a right to in 2 years, then maybe that's the move that has to be made now to get this asset and help this team at this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny. You were just talking about, like, Mitch Marner. That's a completely different situation, too, where he almost – people talked him out of there, right? I mean, that was craziness. And look at where he went from there. Speaking of craziness, has there been a move – and we're four picks into the draft, and there's not been a trade made yet. Was there any move this week that where you sat back and went, wow, that one, I didn't see it?
Well, I'm still back with the Larkin demand to get out of Detroit. That still really surprised me. And, you know, I think that really set everybody off. The Brady Tkachuk move, I thought that that was going to happen. But when I saw it going to Florida, I was just like, what's happening here? You know, this is like, these Team USA players and brothers are all trying to, you know, they're getting together around the league. It looks like Halibut's going to get, sounds like he's a guy that's being talked about. And we do have to pump the brakes, don't you think, Bob? Because anybody can call. I can call, if I was a GM, I could call anyone. I could call Edmonton and ask about Connor McDavid.
Right.
Well, the answer is no. So, but if that conversation's got out or I hesitated, right? Or if I was like, you know, if I'm thinking business-wise, I think, yeah, maybe it may make me an offer. Well, and you go and say, oh, now Connor McDavid's available. Now everyone's going crazy, right? You can call on anybody. And I think that's where we're getting a little too excited about is that, yeah, teams are going to call on the reigning Norris Trophy winner. But to get back to your question, those were two for me, the Larkin news and then the Tkachuk trade to Florida. I mean, and you know, what a day for the Tkachuks.
Yeah,
they unite in Florida, and their dad gets announced to the Hall of Fame, well deserved by their dad, Keith Tkachuk. Wow. Man, things are going right for those guys right now.
Yeah, the week that family had, the people that are fans of them are bigger fans, and the people that didn't like them to begin with hate them even more. I think.
Yeah, right. They're jealous.
Yeah, no doubt.
We're talking with Jody Shelley here, and Jody, a couple moments ago, you were talking about just the desperation level across the National Hockey League right now. It feels like every single team wants to get better in order to make the playoffs and then compete for the Stanley Cup. The Blue Jackets acquired Valeri Nichushkin. What more does this team need to do to put themselves in that position?
Well, I love the Garnet Hathaway pickup by the Florida Panthers. I think those are important pieces. You know, guys that have that character size, hard to play against. You know, top players of the other team don't like playing against guys like that. Really solidify the top six and the depth down the middle. Wouldn't Larkin look great in the two hole here in Columbus? Mm. With you have Fantilli, Larkin, and Coyle. That would be a dream move. But I think, obviously, the depth on D was a problem last year at the end of the year. I think that's something that now with Gudbranson, I mean, he's not signed. He's a physical player. They missed at times when he was out last year. Right-handed shot. I think it's good to have a couple older guys in the locker room. It's a long season. You still have young Fantilli, who, you know, Don talked about him taking the next step. Okay, that's all good. But who's going to guide you in those steps? If your captain's gone, and we're talking about Werenski being gone, they're still young. These guys need those older players in the locker room that just are grizzled veterans that appreciate being wherever they fit in the lineup. And of course, a guy. I mean, I know Robertson. Did he just sign a deal? Has he signed yet? I've seen more junk and stuff. I don't believe.
I think he's turned down 29 teams.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a pure goal scorer that can go anywhere. So, Dylan, you need that game-breaker goal scorer that is a veteran and a couple veteran guys, and one on D. I think that's important.
You know, it's funny you brought up Jason Robertson. So we saw that Seattle talked to him, made him a big-time offer. He said no. And it seems like I just saw something else here, and I scrolled past it, where there was another team that had interest, and he said no. But, you know, this goes back to what you were talking about. He's a restricted free agent. He controls what's going on with him, and it looks like, I don't know if it's true, it looks like he would like to stay a Dallas Star, and he's going to, you know, at least do whatever he can do. Oh, here, well, this is, no, I thought I found that tweet, but it's a different one. But he's trying to control exactly where he's going to go, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I guess restricted, I thought, you know, more of an unrestricted free agent would be able to do that.
Well, if he can,
now he's still restricted.
Right, but if he can ride it out, and if he can get the one more year of restricted free agency, he could walk himself into unrestricted next year, I guess.
That's right.
But I
think Dallas could also say, forget it. We're just going to, yes. There's a couple ways they could play that. You know, you could say, well, you're not going to play this year if you don't want to sign this deal, and we have your rights. It's not the right thing to do. But, you know, they've got to be frustrated with this happening. So, yeah, I mean, it's teams are drooling, and the teams that would need to get better, which is everybody except Carolina. Let's be honest. There's not one team that's sitting here saying, oh, we're good, we're on the right track. No, there's moves to be made, and it's a player driven league right now, and I think that's good. It keeps GMs and organizations on their toes, to be good for their assets to want to be a part of it. And that's really what it comes down to. Look what Connor McDavid did with the Edmonton Oilers. 2-year deal extension. It starts this July 1st, and it's got them on the clock to say by next July 1st, if they haven't made the moves to get better, then guess what? Time is up, and I'm going somewhere else. And that really puts the GMs in a different spot, and I think it's healthy.
All right, we have time for one more for you, and I know that you're visiting your parents in Edmonton right now. Yeah. What's going on with Darnell Nurse? Are they going to trade this guy or what?
The parents are having a 75th wedding or a birthday party. They're my dad. My mom's was in December. My dad's is coming up in November.
Did so they start planning this party 5 years ago?
As soon as the last party ended, they started. That's how my parents were. Anyways, so I was just out there talking to some of the ladies in the group, and that was their first question to me. And I said, yeah, that's probably the right move. And then someone pipes in, oh, Darnell, he got better last year. I mean, yes, I think Darnell Nurse has to move. Now, I hear he's good friends with Connor McDavid. Do you worry about that? Not really. If you can get a better defenseman, you move him. He's making $9 million. I think they've got to trade him out of Edmonton here.
Well, it'll be interesting. There's been a lot of chatter about that, what teams might be interested, but he is still there. Well, he kind of has control, right? He has no movement.
Yeah, he has control to a certain point. But, like, we all talk about trades. It's fun for us. But there is, like, you don't want to downgrade, right?
Right.
I mean, then you're thinking, like, boy, it'd be great to have Darnell back. He was so good at this, that, and the other. Got to be really careful when it comes to trades to make sure that you're doing the best for the organization. And that's why good GMs get out ahead of contracts before they end and know exactly where they're at. We didn't even talk about Austin Matthews. I mean, that's all calmed down now with McKenna going there. We'll see what happens there. But, you know, there was a talk of him maybe leaving Toronto. That was from the moment they were eliminated from the playoffs, which was March, until about 2 weeks ago. So, you know, that's another player you got to get out ahead of. You can't lose that asset for nothing.
All right, we'll let you get back to the party. We appreciate you allowing the interruption to talk with us about all this stuff. It's fun.
Party's just starting here, Bob. It's only 5:56. You guys have fun with the draft. Go Jackets.
We'll call you back when the 14th pick is made. It'll be about 1 o'clock in the morning here, the way this thing's going.
All right, you do that. If I don't answer, call back.
Thank you, Jody. Thanks, I appreciate it. Jody Thanks, Shelley joining us. Before we go to the break, you want to get an update here on, what do we got, 2 picks that have been taken?
Yeah, I was going to say first, we're probably saving Jody from a little bit of small talk there. Right. So got him out of some awkward conversations.
He's really tough in that, though.
That is true.
It's really hard to converse with.
So Gavin McKenna went first overall to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Ivar Stenberg, forward, went second overall to San Jose. We started our conversation there with Jody Shelley talking about Vancouver's selection of center Caleb Malhotra, the son of their new head coach, Manny Malhotra. The host city, the Buffalo Sabres, acquired the 4th overall pick from the Chicago Blackhawks to get defenseman Bowen Byram. They selected blue liner Daxon Rudolph, 6'3", 205-pounder from Prince Albert in the WHL. And the New York Rangers just selected another defenseman, Albert Schmitz, 6'3", 209 pounds from Germany. And we just had another selection. Actually, Lanny McDonald announced it for the Calgary Flames. Another blue liner, Carson Carroll, 6'2", 194 pounds out of Prince George in the WHL. A little bit of surprise right now. The guy that everybody thought was going to be the first defenseman off the board, Chase Reed, is still there. So we'll see what happens here. I think we're going to take a break, right, and come back and see where we're at.
No offense to Lanny McDonald, but is there anyone else to represent the Calgary Flames ever?
I was going to say, I feel like he's there every single year. I see that mustache every year.
That's right. Always the guy. We are going to take a break, and we'll be back with more of NHL draft coverage. This is the Blue Jackets Draft Special on 97.1 The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Testing live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
This is the Blue Jackets Draft Special.
Sponsored by J&J Pepsi.
Heading into hour number 2 of our draft special, the National Hockey League holding the draft in Buffalo. 6 picks in. Blue Jackets are slated to pick at number 14 if they take that pick. Will they? Won't they? Who knows? Who knows? We haven't had anything in the way of trades during this.
No, nothing yet. Nothing yet. No draft picks, at least. We've had a couple of trades around the NHL that have happened.
They haven't stopped the draft. They haven't uttered the famous words, "We have a trade." So,
yeah, I guess Vegas received the Rangers' first-round draft pick, the 26th overall pick for Pavel Dorofeev, but that's later on. Nothing early, at least, here.
Right. Okay. So that's where we are. And the Seattle Kraken is up next with the 7th pick. And they take Chase Reed, the defenseman that you were just talking about before we went to break, the guy that was expected to be the first defenseman off the board. He is not. He is the 4th defenseman off the board, but he's still taken in the top 10.
Perfect. I teed that up expertly. Nice little tease going into our break. And now coming out of the break, we could talk about some possibilities for the Blue Jackets. One of them, not going to be Chase Reed.
All right. That is for sure. Let's go to the Jackets insider, Jeff Svoboda, who is over at Nationwide Arena, standing outside the draft room, the war room, and trying desperately to get in, but more than likely just looking for the free food. Hello, Jeff.
You know me way too well, Bob, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do. I know how you operate, my friend. What's the consensus over there so far? Anything?
Basically just same boat as everyone else, trying to see if there's going to be any movement of this pick, if the Jackets are going to draft 14th, or if something happens along the way. We're halfway there now, I guess, as you just said, Seattle takes the 7th pick. So it feels at this point, as you get closer and closer, it feels like you're going to make that draft pick. But, all the cliches are true. It just takes one phone call. You know, even Wayne Gretzky got traded, et cetera, et cetera. So until we see whoever for the Blue Jackets or Gary Bettman makes that choice, we will be on alert. But it feels, especially after yesterday when the Jackets made that trade to bring in Valeri Nichushkin. I'm going to have to learn how to say that correctly without screwing it up.
Good luck.
But it feels, exactly. Well, you are too, because you're going to be calling the games.
Wow, well, you just said it, and I almost said God bless you, so.
Very fair, very fair. But, when you can get a top six forward without giving up a first-round pick or a roster player, that's a pretty good move, and that gives the Jackets the flexibility to go ahead and pick here, or if there's something else out there, maybe make another trade. But it feels like, you were able to upgrade the current roster without trading that first-round pick, so maybe you just keep it and choose at number 14.
Is it fair to say, and I'm asking you, Jeff, and I'm asking you as well, Dylan, is it fair to say that now with Reed going off the board, those 7 picks in, is it pretty much the 7 guys that were speculated in going in those first 7 spots?
It feels like a little bit out of order. Buffalo, I think, surprised people. I think most people thought that Chase Reed was the best defenseman in the draft and was going to be chosen somewhere in the top 4. So for Daxon Rudolph to go there, I think, was a little bit of a surprise. I think people may be surprised that the Swedish center, Viggo Bjork, is still on the board. Albert Smits, the Latvian defenseman, was someone I think was rated a little bit lower there. So the players that have been picked so far, I think, were all thought to be top 10 picks. It was just, some of them probably were thought it was going to be a little bit lower. But we haven't seen any real true, where did this guy come from picks thus far? No Yegor Chinnikov type picks that have sent people scrambling, in my opinion, just kind of looking at the draft. It feels like the consensus was the top 9 or 10 were the top 9 or 10, and then things would move around from there. And so, and maybe get interesting once the Jackets run the clock, kind of in that area. So it hasn't been exactly what people thought, but it's not too far off of what the pre-draft consensus seemed to be.
We're talking with Blue Jackets team reporter Jeff Svoboda. Jeff, we are 7 picks in to the NHL entry draft, halfway to the Blue Jackets at 14th overall, and we haven't yet talked about potential options for the Blue Jackets with that 14th pick. Nobody knows these guys better than you. You did your annual consensus where you went around and kind of pinpointed the options for the Blue Jackets at 14th overall. So can you go down the list and provide us with some potential names and profiles for who the Blue Jackets could pick if they hold on to number 14?
Absolutely. And it's funny that the player that landed at number 14 in that consensus poll was defenseman Ryan Lynn out of the WHL, plays for Vancouver up there. And to me, profiles is like a Denton Mateychuk guy. He's not the biggest, but he has a lot of skill, and he uses his skating and things like that to defend without being the biggest guy. But I just get the sense you know, the Jackets, the last 2 years, have had 12 draft picks. Only three of them were forwards, and seven of them were defensemen. And only one of those three forwards, Caden Lindstrom, who went fourth overall a couple years ago, was taken in the top four rounds of the draft. So it feels like they're probably going to lean forward with this pick. And, you know, they haven't so much said that, but it just feels like it's time to start adding, you know, to the forward group. Two guys that really stand out to me, one of them is Oscar Hemming, who is originally from Finland, but he played last year at Boston College. He's a very big guy, a power forward with an excellent shot. That sounds like someone that fits the mold of what this Blue Jackets front office is drafted under Don Waddell. Another big guy that wears number 61 up with Windsor of the OHL is Ethan Belchets, and I think he's going to be in the mix there. He plays like Rick Nash in addition to wearing the number 61. Had a bunch of goals this past season with the Spitfires. Likes to get to the front of the net, likes to create some chaos. And, as I said, his inspiration for wearing 61 was Rick Nash. So, you know, there's an automatic Blue Jackets tie there. So Hemming and Belchets, if you're looking for a big forward, are the two guys that I think stand out. Another player to watch is Wyatt Cullen. He's really jumped up the draft boards here recently. He comes out of the U.S. national team program up in Ann Arbor. And he is the son of Matt Cullen, who won three Stanley Cups and played 21 years in the league. When he got to the U.S. program, he was only 5'8". Now he's 6'1", and still has the small player skills and a much bigger player's body. If he's still on the board at 14, I think the Blue Jackets will run up there and make that choice. Well, they don't run up there anymore. They're here in the arena, so they can't really do that. But I think he would be a guy that, as he's risen up draft boards, if he's somehow still there, the Jackets would love to have him. So those are three guys, three forwards and one defenseman, I would say, that kind of stand out as far as players who would be in the wheelhouse for the Blue Jackets. And maybe a fifth one to watch, you know, because he's going to the University of Michigan next year, would be J.P. Hurlbert, who has played up in the WHL last year, scored a lot of goals as well. He is, I believe, from Texas. But he's going to the University of Michigan, and we all know the Blue Jackets have drafted a lot of guys out of here there the last couple of years. So maybe an under-the-radar guy that you would have to watch just because of that history.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with the Blue Jackets. Viggo Bjork just went to the Winnipeg Jets. Wyatt Cullen, who you mentioned, that would excite me, just the pedigree with his dad, Matt Cullen, being a Stanley Cup champion. And I think that toolkit is very unique, too, how you mentioned he was a much smaller player when he got to the development program, and now he's grown into his body. So if you have those small player skills and speed and quickness, and now he has it in a much bigger, stronger body, I think that's an enticing player for sure.
See, I like that. I agree with you on that. And not that you have to be the son of an NHLer, okay? But when you are, where are you your entire life?
You have pro habits. Look at Cole Sillinger. He came in ready to go.
100%. So I like that. And then not only did your dad play for 21 years, but he's got three Stanley Cups along the way.
Pretty good.
Jeff, when you were going through all of that, first of all, I was very impressed with your breakdown. And
thank you, Bob.
The second thing I thought is Jeff Sabota is the only guy that doesn't want to trade this pick because of all the work that he's done to research these guys.
You know what? There is something to be said for that.
And also, if they end up trading the pick, he's going to have to do even more work tonight researching whoever it is they get.
That's a good point.
Yeah, well, when you put it that way, I would love to draft the pick. More so
Don
than
should
that,
let you make it yourself. You walk up there and say it.
Yeah, why not? I you know what? They say they're looking for celebrities to do this. Who better than me?
Great question.
Yeah, clearly based on
Did you love how we just let you die on the vine right there with silence?
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah, clearly based on your reaction, that joke went over like a lead balloon.
No, I'm just kidding. But look, I do know it is a lot of work, and it is to go and research it and try to figure it out. And none of us have it figured out because we don't know what is going to happen. But it's a very good breakdown by you. And I tend to agree with you. They've done all these defensemen the last couple of years, and I don't know what they're going to do, but to have a couple of forwards and to get some with size, that would be nice. And as you said, that's what Don Waddell has looked at. He's looked at size.
Yeah, it seems like if you go back to the first Waddell draft, which was 2 years ago, they went very defense heavy in that draft. But all those are big guys who could skate and have some offense to them. And even Caden Lindstrom, who they took in the first round of that draft, was a forward. But he's a guy that has a lot of size and profiles the way that the Blue Jackets have wanted to go. And, you know, they went with some smaller forwards later in the draft last year, but that's almost where – you know, you kind of have to find guys that kind of have some inefficiencies. You know, there's not going to be 6'3" really skilled guys in the fifth round of the draft. That's just the reality of the situation. So, you know, you kind of have to pick your spots there as you go lower. But, you know, Jackson Smith, who was 14th overall last year, the defenseman, you know, a big guy. And look at the acquisitions that Don Waddell has made since he took over the Blue Jackets on the NHL side, the Mason Marchments, Valerian Nichushkin.
Just say the most recent guy.
Yeah, the most recent guy.
Val.
Nichushkin is what I'll just say. He's 6'4", coming, you know, 210 coming in. So it seems as though the Blue Jackets want to keep adding size to the equation. And you know, the NHL is more amenable to smaller players than it has ever been. But at the same time, if you look at the rosters of the teams that tend to win, they tend to have a lot of bigger guys because, you know, whether the defensemen take up more space, the forwards are harder to move out of the front of the net. So it feels like that's something that Don Waddell believes in and why I think they're probably going to go the direction they may go here when this draft pick is made.
Jeff, everybody around the NHL is trying to get better. I mean, how many teams? 25, 26 teams are trying to make the playoffs and win the Stanley Cup. Heck, it might even be more than that. We've already seen a handful of moves and big ones this offseason, but we're here at the draft, and there are still big names on that trade board. You know, Dylan Larkin requested a trade. He's out there. Darnell Nurse requested a trade. He's out there. Vincent Trocheck's name has been out there for, it feels like, two seasons now from the New York Rangers. The Blue Jackets have made one move, acquiring Valeri Nichushkin from the Avalanche. What more do the Blue Jackets need to do to put themselves in a position to compete?
I think as you're looking at the offseason, and Don Waddell said this, you're looking at top nine forwards, and you're probably looking at a second or third pair defenseman. And the latter of those sounds like something that is going to be available in free agency as we get to July 1 next week. So you're probably, you know, even with the addition of Nichushkin, you're potentially looking at, do you want to keep going there? Because, you know, Mason Marchment is still unsigned. Boone Jenner is the guy that's played top 9 minutes for you that's unsigned. So, you know, do you go the direction of some of the guys that you just named? Although, who knows what the Rangers are doing because they just got Dorofeev. So maybe they're not going to trade Trocheck. Who really knows what the plan is there in Madison Square Garden? But then, you know, you've got the guys in Vancouver. You know, Jake DeBrusk has been someone that's been mentioned quite a bit as someone who's, you know, a pretty consistent 20 to 25 goal scorer and can play a top six role that's available. You know, some have even said Elias Pettersson may be available. So, you know, you feel like that, you know, they may not be done tinkering here. But also so much of next season is going to come down to, you know, the young players continuing to take steps. And the Kent Johnsons and the Dmitry Voronkovs of the world, you know, they scored 47 goals combined two seasons ago. And if they had scored 47 goals last year combined, the Blue Jackets are probably a playoff team. Let's be honest. They combined for 24 goals last year. If those guys found 23 more goals, you probably would have won some more games. And so, you know, they went young a few years ago. They started to build through the draft. And if this team, the way it's constructed, you know, you're trying to add these parts around them that we've seen with some of the recent deals and bringing in the Nichushkins of the world. But the way that, you know, when you get down to where they were a couple of years ago and you want to have success, it's the guys you drafted or the guys you're building around that at some point have to start to drive the bus. And I actually had a chance to sit down with Rick Bowness today, and he was talking about this. Those guys, you know, they want bigger roles. They want to take steps forward. Well, it's going to be on their plate next year, and you're going to need all those guys to kind of keep taking the steps that you feel that you know, you've even seen out of them, that we've seen on the ice Kent Johnson succeed. We've seen Dmitry Voronkov. We've seen Adam Fantilli, who really have some excellent games. It's that consistency and starting to lead the way that I think is the next big step for this Blue Jackets team. And it's not sexy, and people don't necessarily want to talk about it because all these trades are being made. But this team is built right now. At some point, those guys have to take the rope and lead the way. And they've all been in the league now 4 or 5 seasons. Now is the time that, you know, if you get all those, the best version of all those guys, in addition to some of the veterans you brought in over the years, the Coils and the Kushkins and players like that, then you've got a chance to be a really successful team. And so much of this is just going to come down to those players. And, you know, in some of those cases, it's going to be a sink or swim season for them. So we will see how it all works out. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they keep looking. But, you know, some of the onus is going to be on the guys that wear the Union Blue and come back here to camp in September.
All right, Jeff, that is very good work and great stuff. Thank you for coming on with us tonight. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Good to chat with you.
Hey, if there's any food left, let us know because we'll swing by on the way back.
Will do. I got some pizza for you.
Oh, that'll be great in about 3 hours from now. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Jeff Sabota, Jackets Insider. That's where you can find him on X. We're going to take a break. Picks continue to come in. We're moving our way to number 14 overall. That's where the Blue Jackets are slated to pick, unless something happens between now and then where they make a trade. Right now, we're on schedule for them to make the pick. So we'll talk more as the Blue Jackets draft special continues here on 97.1 The Fan.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube. Ooh, just to name a few. Live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Scattered showers and a few thunderstorms will continue into tonight, with most of the rain south of Interstate 70. We can see rainfall amounts over a quarter of an inch in central Ohio. As we head into the weekend, we're tracking a few more rain showers early on Saturday, but some sunshine for the afternoon with highs into the upper 70s. More sunshine and drier conditions for Sunday with highs into the mid to upper 80s. And then we're tracking some extreme heat for next week with highs well into the 90s for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's a look at your 10 weather impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Aaron White here on 97.1 The Fan.
The draft is here. This is the Blue Jackets Draft Special.
Sponsored by G&J Pepsi.
NHL draft taking place in Buffalo. Is that Luke Bryan picking for the Nashville Predators right
now? That most certainly was.
Oh, and look who they took. Wyatt Cullen. That's not a surprise. That's Chris McFarland making his first pick as the new president of hockey operations and general manager of the Nashville Predators. Chris, a former assistant GM for the Blue Jackets, went to Colorado, had been the GM there before getting that bump in title and that moving to Nashville a couple of weeks ago. And so that's one of the guys that we talked about, how great that would be for the Blue Jackets. But instead, he's a Nashville Predator. Taken at, what number is that?
10.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you look at the last four picks here in the NHL draft, I think every team has to be very happy with what they ended up with. Seattle taking Chase Reed, the defenseman, with that 7th overall pick. Again, he was expected to be the first defenseman off the board, and he falls to 7. After that, Winnipeg gets Viggo Bjork, center from Sweden, at 8 overall. Viggo Bjork, some people thought he could go as high as 2 or 3. He's the second best center consensus in this draft. So Winnipeg gets him at 8. After that, Keaton Verhoef. This is one that is very intriguing for me. We talked about the San Jose Sharks with 2 top 10 picks. They got a ready-made forward in Ivar Stenberg at 2nd overall. Then they draft defenseman Keaton Verhoef at number 9. He falls to him, a huge right-shot defenseman, 6'4", 215 pounds. If you are an NHL draft sicko or somebody that cares about the prospects, you're very familiar with this guy's name, Keaton Verhoef, because, you know, about a year ago, people were talking about Verhoef potentially challenging Gavin McKenna to be the number 1 overall pick. Verhoef, like Gavin McKenna, took the collegiate route. He went to the University of North Dakota this past season after playing 2 years in the WHL, and the numbers kind of dipped for him. With that said, he had one of the better draft-eligible seasons for a freshman defenseman in college hockey ever, but the numbers weren't necessarily comparable to what he did in the WHL. In his 24-25 season with Victoria in the WHL, he had 21 goals and 24 assists in 63 games from the blue line. Really good numbers. He takes the leap into college hockey, which is harder than the WHL. He's playing against men, remember, as an 18-year-old. He had 6 goals and 14 assists for 20 points in 36 games. Nothing to sneeze at there, in my opinion. That's really good for a freshman defenseman. But he falls all the way down to 9th overall to San Jose. You talked about the riches. Just, this team has been spoiled. I mean, San Jose, they get Macklin Celebrini 1st overall in 2024 after selecting Will Smith 4th overall in 2023. They luck themselves via the lottery into the 2nd overall pick this year, and they get Ivar Stenberg. And then via trade, that William Eklund deal to Ottawa, they get the 9th overall pick, and they get Keaton Verhoef. They've got to be really happy with this draft.
Yeah, and look, you've got to be really bad to make some of those picks, okay? I mean, the San Jose Sharks went to the bottom. There's no doubt about that. And but it's about when you're at that point, you got to make the right picks. You do have to get a little bit of luck, like you were just talking about what they get at number nine. But Mike Greer's done a really nice job since coming on as the general manager there. And there's a plan. And it's what you see out of the best organizations, right? You see there's a plan. Okay, we're really bad. Or we're not really bad, but we're going to get really bad so that we can get really good. And you've got to have the fortitude to make the plan and stick to the plan. And like I said, get a little bit of luck along the way. Now they can trade Eklund, and then they can bring in a number nine pick. All of a sudden, you have two top 10 picks. But the San Jose Sharks, they have done that, and they have done that well. So, yeah, to your point, they're doing it the right way, at least on paper, and they did almost make the playoffs this year. They were in the conversation until late in the season. So, we'll see. Every season is a different story, but teams are adding. Everybody walks away from tonight feeling like they got better. Nobody walks away from the first round and goes,
everybody loves their first round pick.
Nobody goes, crap. The guy I wanted went two picks before, and then I just threw something at the wall to see what sticks. That's not how it works. There's a list. You're checking off the list. Like the Blue Jackets just checked Wyatt Cullen off their list as he goes to the Nashville Predators. So we're at number 11. The Blue Jackets are picking at number 14 with their first pick. So as things are moving right along there in Buffalo, that's coming up very shortly. So tell you what, let's just make it easy on ourselves. Let's take a break right now.
Yep.
And then we'll see how it's pacing itself on the other side as we get toward that 14th overall pick. This is the Blue Jackets Draft Special, and you've got it here on your home of the Blue Jackets, 97.1 The Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan. The stars of the future are picked today. It's draft time, and this is the Blue Jackets Draft Special.
Sponsored by G&J Pepsi.
Bob McElligott, Dylan Tyer with you. Blue Jackets Draft Special. The New Jersey Devils are on the clock in the first round. The Blue Jackets are getting closer to number 14 where they are going to pick. And the last pick you just told me, that's a good one for the Blue Jackets because it looks like they may get somebody that they want. Maybe there's three picks left and there's maybe four guys that they're in a group they're thinking of?
Yeah, centerman Tynan Lawrence just went to the St. Louis Blues at number 11 overall. And, you know, based off of what Jeff Swoboda was talking about, he provided a few names, and those names are still on the board outside of Wyatt Cullen. You know, you think about a guy like Oscar Hemming, left wing from Boston College, 6'4", 204 pounds. J.P. Hurlbert, he's from the Kamloops Blazers, a guy that's a wing, played center this season. That was a name that Jeff Swoboda brought up. He is still there. Ethan Belchets, I think a lot of people were expecting him to be selected in the top 10, but he's still on the board. 6'5", 230-pounder from the Windsor Spitfires. So you look at those names, those are all players that Jeff Swoboda mentioned. And now we've got the New Jersey Devils at 12, the New York Islanders at 13, and then the Blue Jackets at 14. So assuming the Blue Jackets are indeed interested in any of those guys, they're going to be there with the 14th overall pick. Of course, there's still time to potentially make a trade as well. But I think in my gut, the Blue Jackets are going to make this pick. You know, the longer things go on here, I think it's harder to get business done. Obviously, there are still trades to be made. There are still names out there. But to me, they're now going to be made after the draft. These first round picks likely won't be involved. But yeah, I think the Blue Jackets are going to find somebody they like there. You know, we talked with Don Waddell in our second segment of the program, and he talked about the importance of adding a forward to their prospect pool, and there are a lot of good forwards on the board right now that the Blue Jackets could go with.
There is something I thought about asking Don when we talked to him, and then I decided not to. I decided it wasn't that important. When we talked to him again, I am going to ask him the question, how much more difficult it is to get trades done when you're not in the same location as it was for years. Now you have this centralized draft. Yeah, you can be on the phone and you can be doing this and that. But Don is one of those guys that used to love to walk from one table to the next table and try to make those deals in person. And as you were just talking, it made me think of it when you were just talking about the fact that, you know, it appears as though business might get taken care of later not in this first round. Wonder how much of that has to do with that, or wonder how much it changes having to make calls as opposed to just being able to pull a guy aside. Because, you know, we were there for years, and you would see guys leave the draft floor, and you'd be like, okay, where's he going? Who's he talking to?
Right.
Right? And sometimes it was something. Many times he was going to the bathroom, and he was just coming back, you know. So you never know. Or going to get a sandwich or something like that. But I will be interested to know that. The New Jersey Devils have made their pick. That is in the process of being announced at number 12. And they take it forward.
Alexander Command. He was down some people's boards, I think. That might be a little bit of a surprise pick there for the Devils. But, hey, they've got some new leadership now with the new general manager and Sonny Mehta. So maybe a little different way of thinking there. They've got some questions to answer there as well. They made a big trade dealing Simone Nemec to the Calgary Flames for a couple of first-round picks. So they've got some spots to fill on the blue line. They've talked about being aggressive themselves and finding somebody to play with Jack Hughes. So that's another team in the Metro that's trying to get better. So they pick a Swedish centerman, and Alexander Command, who, you know, he's not going to be with them this season in all likelihood, but a potential difference maker down the line. Couple of Swedish centers off the board. Swedes off this board early here between Command, Viggo Bjork, and Ivar Stenberg.
Yeah, you talked about new leadership there in New Jersey, and you know that's the case for a number of teams around the league right now. But New Jersey's a team that they were severely disappointed in the way that they performed last year. I think a good bit of that had to do with Jack Hughes not being healthy the entire season, obviously. But that Simone Nemec trade, there was, I heard some decent criticism of that, to give up on a player that is that young.
He was a second overall pick in 2021.
Second overall pick. Second overall pick.
Or 2022, excuse me.
4 years ago. And he gets dealt to Calgary because I heard them talking about it on NHL Network Radio, and it was like, well, the Calgary Flames, this was a no-brainer to be able to get this guy with all of the potential that he has ahead of him. So, so the Devils, they take a centerman and another one off the board, and that will bring us in at number 13, which means the Blue Jackets are just one away from making their pick, and we're going to find out what they're going to do here in this first round.
New York Islanders up next at 13th overall. You've got a grouping here of Metropolitan Division teams between the Devils, the Islanders, the Blue Jackets, and then the 16th overall pick once belonged to the Washington Capitals. Now it belongs to the St. Louis Blues after that Jordan Kyrou addition for Washington. The Islanders are a tricky one, right? Because I think a lot of people expected them to be right back at the top of the draft this year after they held the number one overall pick last year. The guy they selected, Matthew Schaefer, changed their plans. Yeah. He changed all of that.
But in fairness, what they jumped how many spots last year?
Eight or ten?
Yeah.
They jumped a bunch just like Toronto did this year.
Right. But my point is on that, they weren't the Blackhawks. They weren't the Sharks. They weren't, you know what I mean?
That's correct.
They weren't in the
fully
the
bottoming
top four.
Out.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. They got a promotion to get that first overall pick. But anyway, sorry to interrupt you.
No, and I was just saying that it's kind of crazy how Schaefer changed everything for them last season, right? He had the greatest rookie season for a defenseman essentially ever, at least in the modern era.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously he looks to be a big part of their future. You know, their captain, Anders Lee, his name is out there as well, just like Blue Jackets captain Boone Jenner. We have free agency starting in just a couple of days' time, which that'll be, I think, equally as interesting to see if trades get done before then, if trades get done after free agency. We're almost in uncharted territory now with the way the draft works now, how you were talking about guys not being there in person. And I personally do think it affects the trades happening. Like, we're barely seeing anything now. And beyond that, the changing cap and now potential expansion in the NHL,
yeah.
Right? Like, all of this factors in, and we're just in this uncharted territory where free agency isn't as large anymore. The trade market is really what dictates everything. Everybody wants their guys locked up long term. So,
I have no problem with that anyway. Because I think the trades are more exciting. You know, who can you get and what do you have to give up instead of who can you get and how much you're going to overpay, because that's many times what free agency is. Is, you know, you get into a bidding war and then you figure, I didn't get what I needed in a trade. So I'm going to have to do this. It's not all the time like that, but it's like that a lot. Or you have to walk away from a guy because it just gets ridiculous in a bidding war with other teams. And then you have to walk away from the table and you leave yourself a little bit short. So I'm cool with the trades. I don't know. They're, I don't think I would like it. Like if I got a call after the show and said I was going to Winnipeg, I'd be very depressed, you know? But I know I'm just picking on Winnipeg. It's easy. But but that being said, it just gives it a little bit extra flavor, a little bit of an extra edge.
I'm enjoying the trades myself. I just feel like the prices are so high. Like we just really haven't seen the prices like this ever.
I agree.
It's like a couple of first-round picks for everybody.
Let's take our break here while the Islanders pick, and then we'll be back to set up the Blue Jackets pick at number 14. That's how we're going to do it here on the Blue Jackets Draft Special. It's presented by G&J Pepsi. Glad to have you with us here on your home for the Blue Jackets, 97.1 The Fan.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan. This is the Blue Jackets Draft Special.
Sponsored by G&J Pepsi.
Pick number 13 has been made by the New York Islanders. They take a Swedish defenseman, Malte Gustafsson. So the Blue Jackets are up next. Dylan, and a lot of the names that we've just spent the past 40 minutes or so talking about are still on that board. It'll be interesting to see what direction the Blue Jackets go.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see how this all shakes out because all of those names that Jeff Svoboda brought up with us are still there for the Blue Jackets with this 14th overall selection, sans Wyatt Cullen. He went a few picks ago to the Nashville Predators. Since then, we saw Tynan Lawrence go to the St. Louis Blues at 11, Alexander Command go to the New Jersey Devils at 12, and then another Swede, Malte Gustafsson, going to the New York Islanders at 13th overall. So wealth of options for the Blue Jackets here at number 14. Ryan Lynn was the consensus 14th best player in the draft per Jeff's rankings. He is a defenseman. But in talking with Don Waddell, I feel like the Blue Jackets are probably leaning towards a forward to add to their prospect pool. I think they really like what they have on the blue line. I mean, you think about Jackson Smith, obviously. He was the 14th overall pick by the Blue Jackets last year. He finished up his freshman season at Penn State and is going back for his sophomore year. You know, Guillaume Richard is a guy that had a really nice first full pro season in Cleveland, and he's a little bit underrated of a prospect for me. A fourth-round draft pick. He played collegiately at Providence College, and I think the Blue Jackets really like him and feel like he would be a good pro, more of a defensive defenseman that can slot in maybe in a second or third pair. And then you think about just a couple of years ago in 2024, the Blue Jackets did a lot of work on their blue line. Charlie Ehlich was their pick right at the top of the second round. They added Luca Morelli in that draft as well. He just had his first full pro season in Cleveland. I think they like him a lot as well. He's a right shot defenseman. So all of this to say, I feel like the Blue Jackets' strength when it comes to their prospect pool is on that blue line. So they're looking to load up at forward where they have Caden Lindstrom, who they drafted fourth overall in 2024. You know, outside of him, it's more depth pieces in that forward group as far as the prospect pool is concerned. You know, if you still consider Luca Delbel-Belouz a prospect for the Blue Jackets, he would be one of the top forwards in their pool as well. But at this 14th overall selection, you can add an impact guy for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They're on the clock right now. We're getting a peek into the Blue Jackets dressing room, which is also serving as their war room. Don Waddell is right at the center of the action. And it looks like everybody there is calm and ready to go. So I would assume the pick is in for the Blue Jackets. And indeed it is. We just got the notification. The pick is in.
Yep. So we are going to find out who the newest prospect in the Blue Jackets system is going to be as we are just awaiting the announcement here from the Blue Jackets and or from the NHL. And the pick is in. So they've got it.
They have a countdown clock behind the desk here on ESPN. I'm wondering, is that how much time we have until the pick is in, and when that expires, is that when Bettman is going up to make the selection?
Well, we're going to find out because it was under 10 when you started that, so we should be at that point. Yep, it's at zero right now, and the
all
crowd
right,
in Buffalo
go.
Is being told that the pick is in, so here comes the commissioner to the podium. Gary Bettman announcing to the crowd in Buffalo who the newest Blue Jacket property is going to be, and it is Oscar Hemming, who is taken out of Boston College, just what we were talking about. A big forward is what the Blue Jackets decide to do. 6'4", 195 pounds. He's a left winger. He's Finnish, but as we just said, he played at Boston College. So, you know, he's got a lot of the tools already, and that's why the Blue Jacket scouts were extremely happy to take him with his 14th overall.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about Oscar Hemming. He's actually the younger brother of Dallas Stars prospect Emil Hemming. He was the 29th overall pick in the 2024 NHL entry draft. Oscar is bigger than his brother. He's 6'4", now listed at 204 pounds, and he's only 17 years old. He's one of the young players in this draft class, so a lot of projectability, a lot of time to develop for a player like Oscar Hemming. He had kind of a strange season last year. He played only the second semester at Boston College. He was originally supposed to play in the CHL, then the BCHL, but some disagreements with his team back home led him to his freshman year at Boston College last year, played 19 games, had a goal and 7 assists for 8 points. He's a big, strong kid. He's a good skater. That playmaking is continuing to develop. But what do we always talk about with Don Waddell and these draft picks? It feels like the Blue Jackets trend towards picking size and strength, and he has it. This is a guy that projects as a power forward in the NHL, and we love to see that. We're looking at him right now on the TV. He's towering over Gary Bettman.
Yes, he is. Not that that's hard, but for players, I mean, not for me, it's fine. But yes, he is a towering young man at 17. And again, so when the scouts are going through these numbers, as you just talked about, playing in 19 games, 1 goal, 7 assists, sometimes you might think, well, I don't know, is that going to be enough? But they're projecting there. 17 years old, right? And coming over, and now you're going to play college hockey. And you mentioned this before. Junior hockey was such the way to the National Hockey League for so many years. Mm-hmm. And college hockey was, for many years, almost an afterthought. When I first got into this game, and it was in the minor leagues, the guys that came from college got ridiculed because they didn't play junior college. Boy, have the tables turned on that, right? Now, everybody wants to play college hockey for many different reasons, but it is harder because you're playing against older players. You know, 18 to 22 is what the college age is. So now you're in junior, 16 to 19, 16 to 20, really. You're on over age of 20. It's a big difference. It's a big gap to make up, and it's a great learning experience for these young players finding out what it takes to play the college game.
Well, a couple of things here to your point. First and foremost, I talked about the strange season for him last year where he wasn't necessarily expecting to jump right into college hockey. Think about coming from overseas as a 17-year-old and hopping right into the college game. Not only are you playing, you know, hockey with new teammates, maybe a little bit of a new style in some situations, but you're adjusting to life in the United States, going to college while doing it. That's a hard thing to do. And then you talk about playing against your age group. Well, he had the opportunity to do that at the Hlinka Gretzky Cup this year. It's one of the best international tournaments for viewing these prospects. As an under-18er for Finland, he had a really nice showing. He played 5 games at the Hlinka Gretzky Cup, had 4 goals and 2 assists for 6 points against players his own age. So it's a small sample size, but it looks good. You love a guy that's in college. I feel like the Blue Jackets have trended towards drafting those guys. They have lots of prospects in the collegiate ranks. And I'm excited to see what this year looks like for a player like Oscar Hemming. The size, the youth, I talked about it right off the top, the projectability. So I'm excited about this player in the Blue Jacket system.
They feel he's got NHL size and strength. His skating, powerful and fluid for a guy as big as he is. He protects the puck extremely well. He's very physical with his forechecking. Loves to finish checks, which when you're that size, you love that, right? Mm-hmm. I love hearing that. He's got a great hockey sense, a good hockey vision, and his shot is heavy and accurate. So put that all together, and you can see why he was right there at the top of the Blue Jackets list, or he was there at 14. He was the guy at the top of their list at number 14 that they wanted to take with that pick. And so that's exactly what they do. They take Oscar Hemming at 14th overall. They add him to the group. We speculated about it. So heavy on defensemen the last couple of years. Maybe time to mix a forward in there. And that's what they've got now. And look, you mentioned Caden Lindstrom, 4th overall a couple of years ago. It's been a tough go for him. When he got drafted, he had had a back issue when he was playing in the Western Hockey League. Took him months to get through that, get back to the Western Hockey League at the end of the season after he got drafted. He played into the playoffs. Then he went to Michigan State. This year was not the year that he wanted to have at Michigan State. He's going back there to be a Spartan again this fall. I think it's a big season for him, right? I mean, if you're going to be an NHLer, he's got to have a better college season this year. But again, it's another guy with size, and now you're looking at a couple of guys like that in the last few drafts that the Blue Jackets can look forward to a couple of years down the road.
That's what it takes in the Stanley Cup playoffs these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
That size, that nastiness.
But it used to be just size, right? Yep. Now it's size
and skill.
You have to be able to skate, and you have to have the skill. You have to have great hands, and you got to be able to do it all. And these guys are projected to be able to do it all, and they have done it at certain levels. Now it's about continuing to do it at the next level.
Well, I'm excited to talk to Oscar Hemming. We're going to have the opportunity to do that in just a little bit. We'll see if he's going to be at Blue Jackets development camp as well. I would assume he's going to be, right? I think all of the Blue Jackets draft picks from last year are going to be at the team's development camp. Yeah. So potentially an opportunity to see Oscar Hemming there. A trade just happened, by the way. I guess we'll announce it right now. Elliot Friedman reporting that Mason McTavish is being traded to the St. Louis Blues in return for the 15th overall pick and the 29th overall pick. Speculation on the return there, but it sounds like Mason McTavish to the St. Louis Blues from the Anaheim Ducks. So that's a pretty big deal.
Well, on the show, they're showing the Blues at number 15. So you have cutting edge information, it appears. And I saw after the Blues picked earlier, it was talked about that they were still interested in McTavish. They were still trying to make something happen. So apparently they have made that something happen, and that'll be coming. So it will be instead the Anaheim Ducks that are going to be taking the pick there at number 15. But again, the Blue Jackets have made their number 14 pick, and it's Oscar Hemming, a big forward from Boston College. We're going to be talking to him in just a bit. So to clear way for that, let's take a break, and we'll be back with more of the Blue Jackets Draft Special presented by G&J Pepsi here on 97.1 The Fan.
Remember the old days when football used to have an off-season? Well, we at The Fan think that really sucked. That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, is voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated. Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments, as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays, and they come right to your house and massage your tender areas. They'll do it all. Austin and Berm on The Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV+. Bo Bishop has many friends. He calls none of them by their actual names. Let's see, there's Reese and Bake. And we can't forget about The Blonde. Bootsy, Beansy, NBC, Buddy Garrity, Lil Mo with a gimpy leg, the list never ends. And then there's First Friday, which really isn't a Friday at all. He's always the first stop on the Paul Feinbaum apology tour. Don Tiberi frequently calls him Babe. Oh, and there's a lot of conversation about drinky poo. A lot. You should probably listen to it, because I'm sure my sales pitch makes no sense. Bishop and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The Fan. Hello, friends. There's a special place on your radio. A place where the beer flows like wine. A place where dogs frolic and random movie quotes invade your brain. That place is Rothman and Ice, voted the number one midday show in America in 2024. We won't talk about what happened last year. It certainly has nothing to do with Cole producing the show. Do they talk Buckeyes? Of course they do. Do they chat with Hall of Famers on the regular? Yes. Will they obsess over their fantasy football teams to the point both of them need therapy? You betcha. Rothman and Ice, weekdays from noon to 3. Thank you, The Fan. Common Man and Timmy. Voted America's dumbest show by Marconi voters. Common Man is a Columbus radio legend. And by legend, I mean it's a miracle he hasn't been fired yet. And Timmy is, well, Timmy will complain about anything and everything. And he kind of looks like a woman.
Giggity, giggity, giggity.
So there's that. Common Man and Timmy.
Sponsored by Hinderer Motor Company.
Weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on The Fan. T-Bone and Tyvus wake you up every weekday morning from 6 to 9, and I think I can sum up the show in three words. Football, food, and fun. Ain't that right, T-Bone?
And I get more volume per suck.
And there's only one thing that makes Tyvus happier than a free hair transplant.
All it took was legalizing the money you had to give to the players. And yeah, we are watching the demise of the SEC.
T-Bone and Tyvus, weekday morning starting at 6. And tell your smart speaker to play 97.1 The Fan. Are you missing?
missing some freeloading buddies in your life? Well, catch Bishop and Friends on The Fan, featuring Columbus sports veteran Bo Bishop.
I have to acknowledge that I definitely had a mullet in middle school.
A man about town. Bo's a father who gives excellent advice.
If you're going to give me a breakfast pastry out of a box, the toaster strudel is significantly superior to the Pop-Tart.
Bishop and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan. And tell your smart speaker to play 97.1 The Fan.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
The stars of the future are picked today. It's draft time, and this is the Blue Jackets Draft Special.
Sponsored by G&J Pepsi.
Oscar Hemming taken by the Blue Jackets, 14th overall in the National Hockey League draft that is taking place in Buffalo, New York right now. But we've got Oscar Hemming with us right at the moment. Oscar, first of all, congratulations. Welcome to the Columbus Blue Jackets. How does it feel?
Thank you. Feels awesome. Just nerves on the floor and finally hearing my name. So feels awesome.
I wanted to ask you about that. When you're sitting there and you're watching 13 other guys go and you're wondering, when is my turn? Like, how do you tune that out? I mean, it's got to be nerve-wracking with every pick, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's nerve-wracking. Your heart kind of speeds up a little, and then you hear somebody else's name. But, I mean, there's not really anything you can do but just hope for the best. So,
how much studying did you put into the teams that you thought might take you? In other words, what do you know about the Columbus Blue Jackets, and why do you think this is going to be a great fit for you?
Well, I think they have a good team. Got a couple of Finnish guys there, so it's going to be nice to see them. And it just feels like it's a good match.
Oscar, did you have any idea that it was going to be the Blue Jackets that selected you going into this draft?
No idea. So that was just a surprise.
A very welcome surprise, and we're happy to have you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself as a player?
Yeah, well, I think I'm a physical, skillful winger, so I think I play physical and, you know, see the ice well and have a good shot.
That certainly plays in the NHL these days, big bodies with lots of skill. Are there players in the National Hockey League that you model your game after, and if so, who?
I'd probably say Brady Tkachuk. I think we kind of play similarly, so if it has to be one, that's probably him.
Oscar Hemming is with us. He just joined the Blue Jackets, taken with a 14th overall pick in the NHL draft. Oscar, tell us about, we were talking about you being a young man coming over from Finland and then going right into college hockey at Boston College and actually having to do it, make this transition in the second semester. What was last year like for you, hockey-wise and personally?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit messy, of course, and sometimes it wasn't too great mentally, but pushed through it and then figured out where to play. And, you know, kind of from that just started rolling. I think I played good. So I was happy with going to BC.
Now, your older brother, Emil, was selected in the first round in 2024 by the Dallas Stars. Your dad, Jonas, he played professionally in Finland. Having guys with the experience that they have and, you know, what they have done in their lives and the advice that they can give to you about your game, about how to handle this draft, all of that stuff. How valuable has that been for you?
Super valuable. You kind of know beforehand, like when it happens, you kind of know what's going to happen. So it's helped me a lot. Just having them go through the things before me and giving me like all the small tips. So just has helped me a lot.
Oscar, your first season of college hockey is done now that you've got that in the rearview mirror and kind of in the memory bank. What are you working on this summer to improve your game?
Skating, just be more explosive and more agile. I think that's just going to help me create more chances and, you know, score some more goals.
Are you coming to the prospect camp this week?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's usually what they tell you. Hey, welcome, congratulations. By the way, you got to be in Columbus by Monday, right?
I have no idea.
That's all right. That doesn't matter. Well, I'll tell you what. We appreciate you taking a couple of minutes for us tonight, and we look forward to meeting you at the prospect camp here in the next couple of days. Hey, congratulations. We couldn't be happier to have you as a member of the Blue Jackets, Oscar.
Yep, thank you so much.
All right, there he is, the Blue Jackets
First round pick, 14th overall, Oscar Hemming, a Finnish native who is playing at Boston College. And that is so typical, right? Like, what's going on now? I don't know. I did an interview. I'm doing an interview with you. I'm going to go do three more interviews. And if I'm lucky, I'm done doing interviews, and then I'll sign a whole bunch of stuff. That's what draft day is like for these guys.
I always ask these guys, do you pack your hockey bag with you right. when you come to the draft? Like, how does that all work? So I'm going to have to figure it out with Oscar, because like he said, he's got absolutely no idea what comes next. But I assume, like he said, he'll be here in Columbus. We get the opportunity to meet him in just a couple of days' time and see what he looks like out there. I can't wait to see all these guys together. Another big body with skill. Talked about the skating ability. And I like that he brought up the nastiness right off the bat. He loves to play that physical game. I'm not sure you get that often with a player his age, 17 years old, and he's playing college hockey. So I feel like you kind of have to bring that. Maybe it brings it out of you playing with those older players. And Brady Tkachuk, you always love to hear that. I don't know if I've ever heard a Finnish guy compare himself to Brady Tkachuk. It's usually Alexander Barkov.
But yeah.
I love the Brady Tkachuk.
No, that was good. And to your other point about the physical play, you know, for years it was like, well, the guy's European, so he's not going to be physical. Mm-hmm. No, it's not the way it is. You know, it was good to hear him say that, and that he's looking forward to playing that style for the Blue Jackets. And look, as we talked about before, that style wins. You can talk about the Carolina Hurricanes and how fast they are, but they're also relentless. They are on the puck consistently. Sometimes it feels like there's four guys on you when you have the puck. I mean, we watch the games from upstairs, and it feels like that at times when you watch a team like that. They won the Stanley Cup. Everybody wants to be that. And to be that, that's why Oscar said he's going to continue to work on his skating. It's good. It's got to be better to get to the National Hockey League, and he is self-aware. So that's awesome. That's... Look, he sounds like a good kid. We find out more when he gets here, and then we find out more over the years. But just looking at it on the surface, it's a good ad for the Blue Jackets.
It is an amazing ad for the CBJ. I love the size. I love the skill. See how it fits. They're all puzzle pieces, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it either. So this week, development camp at the Ohio Health Ice House over at Nationwide Arena. You can get the schedule. Just go to bluejackets.com, find out what's going on the ice each day, and see a lot of the guys from last year, some from 2 years ago, coming in and skating drills and kind of getting to know each other, especially this draft class. This is the first time that you're going to get a bunch of people that were just taken in the same draft together in the same room and on the ice at the same time, which is where these bonds really do start to form. And they're bonds that continue through the American Hockey League and on to the National Hockey League.
You're right about that. Those early bonds, and you know, you kind of see that, right? That we get to meet these guys and develop that relationship early, and I think it pays dividends down the road. Like, I think about, you know, how I would host the Pipeline podcast and get to know all these guys when they were young. Got to know Kent Johnson, got to know Denton Mateychuk, Luka Delbel-Belouz, et cetera, and now my own relationship, now that they're in the NHL, it benefits because I know these guys. And, you know, the same can be said about these players meeting each other. They create a little bit of a family. Like, you know, we talked about these guys and talked to them a couple summers ago where, you know, do you recall at the 2023 draft when I think we talked to William Whitelaw, and he said that he had been playing video games with Luca Pinelli, and these guys keep up with each other as the year goes on, and they become friends exploring Columbus. So it's a great thing, and now Oscar Hemming is going to be part of that brotherhood here in Columbus. Love to see that.
Yes, he is. So again, the development camp is coming up in just a couple of days, and you can get all the information on that just by going to bluejackets.com. Do you have any final thoughts here tonight, Dylan Tyre?
I like what the Blue Jackets were able to do. I liked what they were able to do yesterday in acquiring Valeri Nichushkin, who, heck, he might be another player that Oscar Hemming models his game after, right? Similar style. But I want to see the Blue Jackets do more. That's my final thought. I think this team can continue to improve via the trade market. Lots of smoke out there right now with a lot of different names on the CBJ. I really think you can set yourself up nicely for the future no matter what happens. So I want to see that happen, and I want to see this team put itself in a position to compete for the Stanley Cup playoffs next year.
Yeah, I agree with that, and it'll be interesting to see what happens between tonight and then tomorrow, the final rounds of the draft. As you heard Don Waddell say early in the show, that's really important because you can really find some pieces there, and you have to find pieces there. Like, it's great to draft at that first guy at whatever number you draft him at, but it's the second-round picks, the third-round picks. You find that fifth round or sixth round pick that pans out that you have something that everybody else passed over. I mean, and for the Scouts, this is something we didn't talk about tonight, but it's fair to say. For the Scouts, this is their Stanley Cup final. Mm-hmm. They spend all year compiling this information. They spend all year watching players, drafting reports, and then getting together and putting it into a list. So the work that they do, they're getting paid off right now with the guys that they are selecting. So they've worked extremely hard. They're going to work through tomorrow, the final rounds of the draft. See, it's time to go. I can't talk anymore. They're going to do that tomorrow.
That's when they really get the payoff tomorrow with all their draft picks.
That's right. Absolutely. And nobody's paying attention, mm-hmm. right? To be honest, because there's so much focus on the first round. But they're going to do a good job tomorrow. They're going to add more players to the prospect pool. And then we'll see what happens between trades that could be made. And also the free agency period starts on July 1st. And that is on Wednesday. So we'll see what happens with that as well. But it's been fun. It's been fun talking hockey. We haven't got to talk hockey in a while, so it's fun to talk about it, and it's exciting to have Oscar Hemming to be part of the organization.
Well, here's the plan, Bob. Let's talk hockey for the next week or so. Hopefully lots of good things with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Take a little bit of a break, and we're right back for training camp.
Absolutely. It's not going to be that long, believe me. It always seems like it's a million miles away, but it is absolutely not. I want to thank Nate Puderbaugh for being our producer here tonight, and doing a great job getting all of our guests lined up.
Tremendous job getting Oscar Hemming right there. We weren't sure how the timing was going to work out, and it worked out perfectly. Yeah, Nate.
That was clutch, Nate. That was really, I mean, if there's a bonus to be had, no, there's not. Don't worry about it. Anyway, but we thank you for the work that you did tonight. That's going to do it for the Blue Jackets draft special. Oscar Hemming, the first round pick of the Blue Jackets, taken 14th overall, a big forward from Boston College. We'll see him at prospect camp coming up in just a couple of days. For Dylan Tyre, I'm Bob McElligott saying thanks for listening to the Blue Jackets draft special right here on your home of the Columbus Blue Jackets, 97.1 The Fan.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.